presented by The Hockey Shop, source for sports Langley, thehockeyshop.com. This is In Goal Radio, the podcast, and we have a jammed episode today. On our NHL Sense Arena feature interview, Ukko-Pekka Luukkonen of the Buffalo Sabres and Caden Primo from the Montreal Canadiens, a pair of young, great goaltenders, coming up in chats with Kevin Woodley. In our gear segment at The Hockey Shop with Cam, we'll focus on the True Project X stick. It's light as a feather. It'll cost you a couple of dollars, but it is unbelievable, the technology that's going into that. And we'll also get into maybe the Vezina Trophy race as we head down the stretch of the National Hockey League as we bring in the co-founders of In Goal Magazine. It is David Hutchison leaning into that mic with a beautiful deep voice and secluded into a dark corner for his ambiance at Rogers Arena is Kevin Woodley. I like what you've done with the place.
Well, yeah, I've done it. Like, you notice how I always set it up? I think this is just, I know we don't use the video. We never use the video. But I think I set myself up in the press box with this shot every time. Like, if I'm doing like sort of like TV appearances while I'm here, I always do this one just in case my wife watches, because there's people won't know what I'm talking about, but there's a photo of Marcus Naslund over my right shoulder, and he is her favorite. Absolutely. So yeah, anytime Marcus is back in town in Vancouver, that's the only time my wife seems to want to go to a hockey game. So that's for you, hon.
Nice. Hutch, do you have any like tributes that you lean on when it comes to hockey and your wife?
She's a goalie too, so she sort of leans into the goalie world just like the rest of us. Definitely Henrik Lundqvist is high up on her list, though. She thinks he's pretty stunning, and as a result, I snuck into her phone and I changed my profile picture to Henrik Lundqvist, so every time I phone, she gets to see him.
Well done. That's sneaky. I didn't think you were that deceptive.
We like to have a little fun.
Wow. I wouldn't have a clue how to get into my wife's
phone. I was just going to say, I don't have the technological ability to do any of this. I'd have to ask my kids to do it for me. Sad, but sure. Yeah.
No secrets. We have each other's passwords.
Wow. That's that's well done.
It's not a password problem for me, Hutch. It's a technology problem, as you are well aware.
Anything other than Face ID and Woody's hooped.
I keep trying the Face ID on her phone, and it doesn't work for some reason. Listen, we got these two great feature interviews coming up. In just a little bit. Plus, we'll get into the gear segment. The parent segment as well is going to deal with being invited to a junior training camp. Hutch is coming up with that. But let's start off with where we're heading down the stretch here. Some teams have single digits in games left in the National Hockey League. How many people do you think are truly in contention to be a finalist for the Vezina this year, Woody?
Okay. Finalist. Going to win the award?
I'm not talking
that
winner.
One, that one's easy right now. Okay.
So the winner is easy.
The winner is easy, even if the numbers suggest it should be a lot closer than maybe the vote will be. I was going to say put a mortgage payment on it, but I don't want to cause anyone any trouble. Like Connor Hellebuck's winning the Vezina Trophy, and he's a deserving finalist. I just think there are other guys you can make an argument for, and a pretty good argument, for it to be a closer race than ultimately I expect it to be. And two of them are actually slightly ahead of him in goals saved above expected, which at the end of the day is sort of the purest measure we have of, you know, how have you performed relative to your environment? And goals saved is, you know, it's cumulative, because obviously if you play more behind a bad team, you get a chance to build up some goals saved. And a couple of guys have done that. Jacob Markstrom, second in the NHL at 24.25. Jordan Binnington, number one in the National Hockey League, 24.6 goals saved above expected. Hellebuck's actually had a nice little heater now. He's up to 24. Those are, to me, are your three finalists. I think Thatcher Demko might get into that mix, even though he's sort of ran so hot at the beginning of the season, leveled off for a long stretch, and now ultimately got hurt down the stretch. I think those are sort of your four names that you'll hear in this conversation, or you should. I'm curious whether Binnington and Markstrom even get the recognition, because they're on bad teams and the raw numbers aren't nearly as appealing.
Now, you can't put two finalists in there from teams that don't make the playoffs.
Why not? Honestly, is it the best goalie, or are we just talking the team? Like, because honestly, like, where the Calgary Flames would be without Jacob Markstrom is vying for the Macklin Celebrini sweepstakes. Like, his expected save percentage is in the 870s. They are a bottom 3-4 team defensively on the year, and he has bailed them out at a level like no one else. until the stretch drive here where they basically traded away their number one pairing, he was almost lapping the field. He was a full, until they traded away Hanifin and Chris Tanev, Markstrom's numbers were actually a full 10 better than second place in goals saved above expected. Now he's come back down to earth because the team that was already struggling defensively did trade away two good defenders. But he's still in the top three. I don't know why he can't be in the conversation. Bobrovsky won it missing the playoffs 1 year. So why can't we have two guys as finalists? Like, the one argument that I will give people is it is easier to sort of rack up these numbers behind bad defensive teams, and both St. Louis and Calgary are bad defensive teams. So,
although you've just shown that it's also hard when it gets really bad defensively, because you just explained it got worse for Markey when they traded away two defensemen.
And consistency is
the There's a sweet spot, maybe.
Consistency is the hardest part. Like, you know how it is. Like, when your team is bleeding chances, you can go on runs and heaters, and that's what Bennington's done. Exceptional at the start, little dip, exceptional around sort of the new year, and now exceptional down the stretch. Hey, what if he gets them in the playoffs, right? I know it's a long shot, but they're fighting. What Markstrom has done consistently up until, like I said, this last few weeks, a couple injuries in that trade, like, behind an expected of 875 for most of the year, to outperform it at a level nobody else is even touching. We're talking like Linus Ullmark levels of save percentage above expected for the entire season to maintain it. Like, it's really hard to do. It's special, and I think it should be recognized.
Any chance Boston runs it back and wins consecutive years, whether it's Swayman or Ullmark?
I don't think wins, just because I said this one is Hellebuck's to lose. I think the fact they split so much probably hurts both their chances, if that makes sense. And I guess I would ask you, let me ask you this question, Darren. Which one do you think has a chance to run it back out of the two? What's the perception Swayman. Versus the reality?
Swayman.
Interestingly enough, Linus Ullmark has a higher goal saved above expected this year.
I walked right into that.
I know. I kind of did set you up. Adjusted save percentage too. Linus Ullmark at plus 1.2. Jeremy Swayman down to plus 0.8, which is sort of in the teens on the year. They've taken a step back, in sort of the last month defensively. And those guys, as they were incredible early, but they haven't, again, the consistency behind a bad defensive team, they haven't been able to sort of maintain the level they had earlier in the season. And another point, if we want to dig down into the minutia, like, compare what, you know, Binnington and Hofer are both playing really well for the St. Louis Blues. So does that take any sort of shine off the apple for Jordan Binnington? When you look at Connor Hellebuck, guess what? Laurent Brossoit has the identical adjusted save percentage, actually slightly better adjusted save percentage on the season. So behind that environment, Laurent Brossoit, who's not getting any Vezina votes, is performing at the similar level to Connor Hellebuck. Jacob Markstrom is number two in the league at plus 2.3% adjusted save percentage. The next Calgary Flame is 60th in the NHL in Dan Vladar. So if you talk about sort of showing and demonstrating just how tough the job is that Markstrom has had, you know, compare other guys have backups performing similarly. For Jacob Markstrom, nobody's been able to touch what he's done, I think in part because the environment's been so tough.
There is a feeling that you can't win NHL MVP, the Hart Trophy, if you don't make the playoffs. Last year, the Norris Trophy winner did not qualify for the Stanley Cup playoffs, so maybe it is more wide open for somebody to win it without qualifying.
Should Connor Hellebuck, here's the thing, I just told you that Hellebuck maybe, you know, like, he should win it, but it's not his slam dunk that everyone says it is. Should he be in the Hart conversation? Because the part that builds his case,
I don't
case,
think it's
Darren,
been dominating enough.
Is he's had no run support.
I don't think it's been dominant enough. My feeling.
So I think the case that people are making is, like, because his numbers when they're up a goal, like in tight situations, and this is where I too would tip the scale in his favor to give him the Vezina Trophy. They're off the charts. Like, a lot of the goals saved that Connor Hellebuck has done this year are in tied or up a goal situations. He's been incredible. Like, let's face it. But you're right. Adjusted save percentage, like, this is not even what Shesterkin was doing in his Vezina year. Like, it's a little more, there's a lot of environment in this for Connor Hellebuck. As incredible as he's been, and Laurent Brossoit has been, he hasn't had to perform at that sort of, you know, to me, like, you got to be in the 940s to sort of have that conversation. And even relative to expected, that, like, the year Shesterkin had, he was not almost plus 3%. Hellebuck's at plus 1.8. Markstrom's at plus 2.3. Nobody's touching those types of Carey Price, MVP, you know, or even Igor Shesterkin when he was in the conversation 3 years ago.
Amazingly, a year ago at this time, we didn't know who would be playing goal for Winnipeg at this time. And they re-signed Hellebuck. They bring in Laurent Brossoit. And it's worked out great from Kevin Jevildayoff, the general manager's perspective. Let's get into our parent segment. And junior teams starting to round out their schedules, getting into the playoffs. We're moving down that that path, which also means you're starting to look ahead. And interesting question as we forecast for parents to deal with or grapple with, Hutch.
Yeah, I've already had a few questions from parents who've reached out to me, parents@ingoalmag.com, if you have any questions. People want to know about junior camps and whether they should be looking at them and looking to send their kids. And this is a question that I'm sure, you know, forwards and defensemen have the same question. Maybe it's a bit different from goalies, just for a reason I'll get to in a bit, Darren. But just to give it a little perspective, junior A and junior B teams often have open invitation camps. The CHL, they're by invitation. I'm not familiar with the American system, so I can't speak to that. But we're talking about a situation where teams have open invite camps that just about anybody can go to. And you tend to have parents in two different camps. One would be the group of parents that are worried about missing some opportunity. They need to chase every opportunity they can. They think they need to have scouts checking out their kids as often as possible and just want to chase everything. And then you've got this other group of parents online tend to be quite loud about it. They just say, oh, it's crazy. These camps are just a cash grab. All the spots on the team are already taken. Why would you send your kid to one of these camps? So just thought I'd give my perspective since I get the question a fair bit, guys. I've coached in the BCHL, which is arguably the top junior A league in Canada, and I've had a kid who has gone to their camps and has gone to Western League camps. I've got a little bit of experience with this. And look, I was in exactly the same situation when Matty went to his first real opportunity at a BCHL camp. I had to reach out to a goalie coach who'd worked with him and just say, is this something he really should do? I was unsure too. So just to respond to how I tend to tell parents, look, it's true. They make money for teams. They're generally paid $300, $350 for a weekend, something along those lines. With the exception, again, being the CHL teams because they're invite only. They're free generally. But I think it's unfair to call them a cash grab because, look, it's a reality. Junior teams have to make some money, so they do. And they're providing a service in these camps. You're getting something that you're paying for. So I think cash grab is a little bit unfair. I think that term tends to come about, guys, because people think that when you go to these camps, there's really no point because all the spots on the team are already spoken for. Teams commit players verbally or written. Even before these camps happen, rosters tend to be generally built out away from this camp procedure. And so people think it's a cash grab because there's no spots available, but there are. I definitely think that you should ask around to make sure that the camps are a good experience, like team by team, because I've been to camps where they've got six goaltenders and it's a great opportunity for ice time and they are fairly looking at kids. And I actually walked into a rink one time, guys, one of the rinks that Woody plays in. Maybe I was there to watch Woody play. I'm not sure. And there was a BCHL camp doing goalie auditions. And I kid you not, there was more than a dozen kids lined up at a single net. And they would go in for...
Was Woody one of them?
No, no. And literally, they'd go in for 2-3 shots and then they'd cycle out for the next kid. Now, I would not have spent money on a camp like that for my kid. But I do think there's a place for them. And It's true that many of the spots are taken on the team, but it's also true that spots are available.
Can you ask questions of the organization? Is that?
I think it's 100%. It's 100% fair to do that. Yeah. Why wouldn't you? And by the way, don't wait to be invited. Like, check out the websites of the teams that you're interested in. They advertise spring camps when they happen. And I hope that there's a limit in the number of spots that they take because that shows that they're trying to provide a really good experience.
There are for some. I've actually had this conversation on behalf of a parent friend whose son is approaching this age. And I had this conversation with a BCHL team recently and a goalie coach that I know and trust about maybe attending theirs. And he took a look at some film and said, This kid looks like he can play. And so please give me his name because we get more submissions than we have space for.
For sure.
I want this to be a very real experience. Does it mean I have a spot this year? Not necessarily. Although if you wow them, you never know. You know, it's a chance for my friend's son to sort of see how he fares and stacks up at a level he hasn't competed against before. And of course,
exactly.
The caveat is, hey, it's probably not BCHL shooters. It's a bunch of shooters that want to make the BCHL. So you're not going to get to maybe see the BCHL shooters in this example. But if you can't hang with the prospective kids, you're probably not going to be able to hang with the ones that are already in the league. So it can be used as a measuring stick and a chance to understand better where your young goalie ranks as they attempt to make these strides. And there's value in that. I think also, too, it's fair to ask, is there any actual coaching time? Because there's a lot of really good goalie coaches in the BCHL, for example, and I'm sure in other junior A leagues across the country. And I do think it's fair to ask, hey, is this just going to be, as you said, Hutch, 12 kids at a goalie station, they all get three shots each from, you know, different shooters, or are there actually going to be goalie-specific drills and exercises? And there can be value in that as well.
For sure there can. But where I was going to go with it, Woody, is that I think there can be value in the camp regardless. First off, I would say that guys do get signed out of these camps. Let's put that side bit to the side. They're not a pure cash grab for spots that aren't available. My son went to a camp and was offered a spot on a team right out of camp. It had nothing to do with being pre-selected. There are players on my son's team in the Western League that were camp invites and were not drafted. They were just quote unquote filling out a roster for camp, and they showed that they deserved a spot on the team, and they got it every year.
I do think the people that I used to think about this as well, you know, and I've talked to a few coaches about this, the people that yell the loudest about it just being a cash grab are usually the ones whose kids didn't get selected after having spent the cash.
Yeah. And just like, don't have expectations that are too high. I think what Woody was saying about getting a good experience and seeing how you stack up is true. Also, what do goalies need the most? I mean, a lot of goaltenders are getting a lot of time with goalie coaches, are learning skills at a young age. Sometimes we even have the debate on here saying kids are being overcoached at a young age, but they need gameplay. So you go to a camp, BCHL, AJ, OJ, whatever it might be, and you get 4 or 5 games in a weekend. You get to see gameplay. If you're on the young side of the invites for those camps, chances are you're in games with kids that are 3, 4 years older than you. They might not be ready for that league yet, as Woody said quite correctly, but they're still pretty darn good compared to you at your age. So great experience. And in my experience, Woody, there are players, rostered players at a lot of these camps, because even though they fill out the goalie slots really quickly, quite often they haven't completely filled out the player slots. And so they'll invite some of the local guys on the team or something to come out and fill out the roster. So all that to say, they're not cheap. Have a budget. Be realistic. But I think you can get some good value out of the gameplay in these camps. I would even argue cheaper per game in a lot of camps than your spring hockey experience that a lot of parents are lining up for. So it's a different thing to do, something fun for kids to do. Just go in with an open mind, understand it's unlikely, but you just never know where it's going to lead. And maybe it's not a roster spot, but maybe it's for a phone call later on in the season when somebody's injured or they want to give you a look if you've had a good year. That's in general my long-winded response, guys, when parents ask me what to do about camps.
And if they're not ready, it's a reality check.
Yeah, and that's fine.
Discussed sending in some video. That's interesting, too, to try and get ahead of the curve and navigate that. I wonder, can you send in NHL Sense Arena tape and say, I've got this great glove hand? Like, I'm working on this thing. Like, NHL Sense Arena has blossomed.
It's getting closer. I wouldn't be surprised if it happened one day. You'd be able to file some of your drills in Sense Arena and teams could log on to watch you just like they do already with some of the other services out there. That'd be pretty cool. Did you guys see some of the video going around? Devin Cooley got his first NHL start for San Jose recently, and he was warming up outside the dressing room with Sense Arena on. That got me thinking that, as we just mentioned, spring hockey season is around the corner for a lot of people. Time to change routines. You're with maybe a different group of people. You're going to do things a little bit differently. Why not put Sense Arena into your routine like Devin Cooley? Try a warm-up before practice. Try a warm-up before a game. See if working your hands from some shooters who are going to hit the net, unlike a lot of the guys on our teams, unfortunately, And maybe you're going to be a little bit more ready when you hit the ice. And using Sensarena in a warm-up, like Devin Cooley and like some of the other goaltenders in the National Hockey League that use it today, could be something great to add to your routine. Just one of the many things that Sensarena gives us, from great drills, eye-hand coordination stuff, to what Kevin Woodley is dying to tell us about right now.
Well, no, I just think it's great that we see that video, because you've gone through this, Hutch. We know young goalies have gone through it, where they feel like it would benefit them, but they're too embarrassed to break up the Sensarena set at the rink because it feels so unusual. And yet we've heard from Joey Decord using it between periods in an NHL game he's playing in. Devin Levi using it at the rink. Joey Decord at the rink. Now Devin Cooley. Like, they're normalizing it for the kids that are maybe a little sheepish that they're going to get ribbed, at 13 or 14 years old if they pull this thing out as part of their preparation tool. When you see guys at the highest level doing it, guess what? It's okay.
Yeah, and I hope some goalie coaches will let head coaches know that this isn't crazy too, because I could see that's probably a source of some of the concern for kids. What's my coach going to think if I put on the headset and go play some games outside the dressing room? So guys, Sensarena, great thing to try this spring. Head over to sensarena.com. You know the code, IGM50, and you'll save a bit more.
Presenting our feature interviews, which will include Ukko-Pekka Luukkonen from the Buffalo Sabres. That's a fun conversation. Plus Caden Primo of the Montreal Canadiens, as Woodley navigates his journey, as well as being around Carey Price, which is fun, and the impact of Jake Allen, which I thought was a great response. And commending what Jake was able to do during the course of a three goaltender season. I love the way they navigated that too, as the three guys and the goalie coach. It was a system. It wasn't as painful as we've seen three goalies being on the roster in the past. Our gear segment, tackling the true Project X stick, courtesy of In Goal, the radio, the podcast at the Hockey Shop, source for sports, Surrey, thehockeyshop.com.
Well, hey, just before we get to the stick, just one more example of new gear flying in to the Hockey Shop, source for sports now. We're sort of getting into that March, April where we expect gear launches, but as we said many times, it's been year round, right? Like, new product, Vaughn SLR4 came in like a month ago. There's new product from True that we've reviewed, new product coming from Bauer, the Shadow line. You can go do your customizer there. And you know what happens if you can do the customizer? It means you can order custom gear. And where better to do that than talk to Cam and his crew at the Hockey Shop? They'll know all the details on the Shadow line. So if you get on that customizer and you find a look you like, they'll be able to make sure you order the specs that will suit your game. It's just one more reason to make sure you shop at the Hockey Shop and thehockeyshop.com, including all the new stuff, like the new Project X sticks that, honestly, I didn't know that much about. So let's have Cam fill me in and fill you in at the same time.
Welcome back to the Hockey Shop, source of sports. I'm over in Goalie Utopia with Cam Matwave, and we have the new True Project X stick. And it is not only a pretty sexy looking stick, but it's got some innovative shapes, designs, features.
Yeah.
And a whole lot of flex.
It does have a lot of flex. So True's kind of created four unique flex points for the stick.
Four unique flex points. Easy for me to say, folks.
Goodness, right?
Project X. Okay.
Where you're seeing things be a little bit different from what we've seen kind of in the past, a lot of focus on like paddle flex and whatnot. Very flexible shaft, actually, for this guy. So basically, as you're going to go play the puck and you're inverting your hand and putting it down, you can see how that shaft really actually bows in and bends exactly, well, in theory, where you're going to be popping your glove when you go for your shot. So passing, shooting, things like that, you can really get some good torque behind this, and you'll see that here in a second too as well.
Okay.
So VSS makes its return.
VSS is?
Vibration suppression system.
Ooh.
So basically, there's a rubber insert. We'll go with that. Right inside the paddle and the shaft, right exactly where they meet there. So that's
designed to basically absorb.
Correct.
The vibrational. The waves of vibration are absorbed by that rubber insert.
The waves of vibration.
Vibrations happen in waves, Cam.
Yes.
You know why I learned that?
In school.
Because actually one of the first companies to do that was Warrior.
Uh-huh.
Way back in the day, back when we were having issues with composite for goalies not having that same feel, and the vibrations in the early iterations of composite, they were the first ones to insert, have sort of proprietary tech inserted to take out vibrations. There you go. See, learn something every day.
Today,
Cam.
We're
going old school.
Yes, from Woody himself.
I got to say, those old sticks did not have this, however.
Yes. So now we kind of again start to see where those unique flex points start to come into that stick. So what they call their invert tech.
Invert.
Yes. So
NVRT, invert.
We're back to that's my favorite goalie spelling things like goalies.
We don't like vowels.
No. So as you beyond you feeling it and checking it out.
Well, it's hard. It's probably hard for people to see, but yes. It's sort of like
concave here.
It fins and it's sort of got like a little channel up in that one section, right? Just through here. There's sort of like a little, almost like a cutout channel and the whole thing thin. So it's kind of hard to show because of the shininess and the light reflecting off it, but you can sort of, there's just a little channel there. That's exactly. Why I'm touchy today.
So stiff, soft.
Stiff, soft. Soft.
Yeah.
Stiff.
No. Well, soft.
Stiff.
Instead of the shaft one zone.
Okay. I thought you said it got stiffer at the top.
No. Other way around.
Oh, okay.
So it's soft to stiff.
Okay.
So great overall feel. Again, if you're looking for a stick that you can launch pucks with, no problem. And you're also looking for the lightest weight stick at 555 grams, ladies and gentlemen.
Where does that measure up to sort of say the true scale? Like compared to some of their other lines?
This is the lightest stick.
That's the lightest stick that True has. There you go.
Pretty sure that's the lightest goal stick, period, at 555 grams for a 25-inch.
Okay. Nice.
So if you're looking for the lightest stick, and also something that's quite flexible and able to play the puck quite well, maybe you should be checking out the Project X. Well, say it now, though.
It's not cheap.
So as things have kind of gone around here, we're looking at an upper $440 price point.
Canadian. Our American friends, that's like almost like double what you pay.
Yeah.
It's like two cups of coffee at Starbucks in the States, as I always like to say.
Exactly. So if you want to learn more about this stick, you can give me a call, 604-589-8299 or 1-800-567-7790. You can check it out at thehockeyshop.com. We got it up there.
Project X. It's not just a movie party.
It's flexible.
You remember that movie?
No, I have no idea what you're talking about.
You want to fill in those of us that didn't understand that?
Project X was a movie in 2012. If I remember correctly, it was a high school kids threw a party, maybe a birthday party for themselves in Cali, and things just spiral completely out of control. That's it. I don't remember the particulars. I actually don't think I've even seen it, but for some reason, it's the first thing that came to mind.
Like about this stick is the flexible part of it. I'm kind of encouraged that that's coming back instead of just stiff.
Me too. I like flex because I'm not strong enough to flex.
And a different flex point to give some options to people.
Yeah, no, there's some innovation in there. I liked it.
A couple of interviews in our NHL Sense Arena feature interview segment. We're going to chat with Uka Pekka Luukkonen from the Buffalo Sabres in just a little bit. But first up, Caden Primeau, and what a journey and what a navigating job he's done this year from three goalies the entire year to now just getting a little bit more time in the net in a more traditional environment with the beautiful franchise, the long history of the Montreal Canadiens.
Yeah, we get into all of it. We talk about what it's like to put on that sweater. I mean, it's funny. It wasn't something I intended to ask, but I'm sort of sitting there with him in the stands here at Rogers Arena the other day, and you know, he's got the gear on, right? Like, you know, the big CH on the logo on the chest and the hat, and you're just sort of struck by it, right? And you sort of wonder what it's like to be a part of that, right? I mean, talking to a guy who's got a tattoo of Ken Dryden on his arm, right? And I thought it was cool at the game the other night here in Vancouver, the Habs visiting. I looked down, and in the first row, behind the benches, there were three jerseys in a row. It was Plante, Waugh, and Price. People wearing those jerseys at the game. And I'm just like, so to be part of that heritage, we got into that. And you know, and listen, like ties in between these two interviews, Uka Pekka Luukkonen and Caden Primeau. I covered the 2019 World Juniors here in Vancouver. They were head to head in the gold medal game. And here we are 5 years later, 7 years after they've both been drafted, and they're both, it's taken this long to sort of get that foot in the door and establish themselves. Uko's a little bit of a step ahead. He got a start last year. He got 33 games last year, and he'll talk about it. And Caden's playing catch up, but you can see the strides he's made. Some of those strides, we'll get into it here and we'll listen to what he says. Some of those strides he credits, you know, quite openly to Pete Fry, the goalie guy, and the work he's done on the mental side.
Yeah, Pete is a star in this interview, the acknowledgement there. And Caden comes from a hockey family. He's been around stars before, but even he admits being in that environment in Montreal is next level. It's the NHL Sens Arena feature interview, part one, with Caden Primo on In Goal Radio, the podcast.
Really excited to sit down with Caden Primo, who is getting a taste now as an everyday National Hockey Leaguer. What's this experience been like for you to get the opportunity? It's funny. I was talking to Ukko-Pekka Luukkonen earlier today. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it just takes time. He's getting the same thing right now. I remember watching you guys in this very same building at the World Juniors. What's it like to finally get a deeper opportunity at the National Hockey League level?
Yeah, it feels good to get some stability, just having the two goalies now. But it's been great all year. Monty, Jake, and I have clicked and worked well together. I would have liked to play more. Obviously, everyone does. But being able to work with Eric a little bit more than you normally would so during a season has been super beneficial as well. So, it's been great and just really excited for the opportunity.
So we always hear from the outside, like, three goalie systems, it can't work. Three doesn't go into two. The math maybe doesn't work, but it sounds like you found some benefits to it in terms of having that extra time. As you said, everybody wants to play, but to have that extra development time with Eric Raymond and also having an influence like Jake Allen around.
Yeah, definitely. I think it works so well because of the four of us and our relationships. Being able to work with Eric, you know, I sat down at the beginning of the year and when the three goalie system was put in place, and I was like, okay, how do I get the most out of this year? And I think we did a really good job of, you know, doing everything we could. Being able to have two ice sheets sometimes at the practice rink in Montreal has been huge.
So were there days where the two goalies would be on with the team doing the quote unquote team stuff and the other guy would be over with Eric just doing goalie stuff?
Yes. So we would rotate actually throughout the practice. Two guys would be during the practice and then one guy would be on the other side doing a couple drills with Eric, and then he would come back, join the team, and then send another goalie over.
Now, what kind of things, have you changed anything? Like, I want to get to the mindset stuff and your work with Pete, but have you changed anything? Like, technically, the game's always changing. Goalies are always evolving. Is what's been that progression like for you this season, last season, over the last couple of years with Marco as well as with Eric?
Yeah, I think trying to use my size to my advantage has been huge. Definitely getting stronger. I'm able to play a bit farther out because I can trust that I can get to that next shot. But honestly, the biggest thing has just been mentally. Working with Pete has been changed my perspective on so many things, and it's changed everything.
Okay, so there's probably a lot of young goalies out here. If they're In Goal Magazine people, they've seen our work with Pete and they've heard about it, but they've always maybe been hesitant. What for you, like, what clicked? What is it that's helped you working with him? Because there are a lot of different elements he touches on.
It's hard to pinpoint one thing, honestly. But just creating your own confidence has been huge for me personally. I think he talks about athlete mindset, and that's been huge. Just shaping the way that I view the game, has been the biggest difference maker.
Okay, so athlete mindset versus, say, a fan mindset. For those that, you know, haven't been to one of his things, what for you? Like, give me an example where there's a situation that's happened and you're staying within your own mindset rather than you know, maybe seeing it from the outside and how you might have thought of it in the past versus now?
I think just without going into too much detail.
I don't want you to, I know I'm putting you on the spot here, but don't give away any secrets also. That's always a caveat here at Ingle.
So I think just being able to want play in your end has been one of the bigger shifts in mindset. And really trying to make sure that you're using your mentality in a way that, sorry, this is not coming out anyway.
No, it's okay. Cause I've seen him present it, how you as an athlete internalize it is, it's unique to everyone. Mm. So don't worry. Like it doesn't have to be his language.
Yeah, exactly. Pete makes it come across a lot easier.
He's also been doing it for a long time.
Exactly. But yeah, just the perspective of being an athlete versus a fan. It's honestly just that when you boil it down.
So as simple as, say, after a goal, how you approach, has that changed how you think about a goal? Are you just staying in the moment, tools to stay in the moment versus thinking how everyone else is perceiving you?
Not necessarily. Okay. I think I kind of have always...
You've always done that?
Done that. I've always tried to, you know, not really sway on how the game's going. More so on the defensive side, but I think the biggest shift with Pete has been on the offensive side.
You said self-confidence, building self-confidence. If you could, again, if there's a young kid that says, hey, like, Caden, you're in the NHL. How do you, they probably wonder, how could you ever not be confident? You've had a great junior career up until pro. And B, how do I create self-confidence? Any advice for a young goalie? Other than just take Pete's seminar?
I was just about to say, well, you'd have to work with Pete. But I think it comes down to not worrying about things you can't control. But then also it's a domino effect. Once you feel like a certain way about something, you know, you get a little bit of confidence from one thing, really hone in on that and focus on that. And it's a domino effect. Everything else will start to fall into place.
So like something that makes you feel good, something that is a positive say in your game, and make sure that your mind sticks with that as opposed to focusing on other things.
Exactly.
Okay. Who's your guy growing up?
I liked watching Carey. Obviously, it's funny now that I'm in Montreal, but my all-time favorite was Pecorine. I just liked his athleticism, and he was a bigger guy. I just loved watching, you know, he wasn't exactly like best. So just seeing a little difference out there was, you know, that was the best part.
Okay, so Pex had that great glove, and you're right. He was a very active goalie for a big goalie. Was there a time when you were younger, were you watching specifics and trying to imitate? And as he got older, he evolved. Did you see some of those changes in his game as a fan of his?
I don't think I noticed that much.
Weren't looking at it in that light.
Exactly, yeah. I think I just liked his athleticism for how big of a guy he was.
It was crazy.
Yeah, just not many people, if any, could do what he did. So I think I've always kind of been a little bit taller growing up, so I definitely tried to implement things from his game into mine. But in the U.S., more specifically, the goalies there, they don't try to make you one type. So they try to pull from different goalies. And I think I did that growing up as well. So I liked Carey's calmness. I liked Pekka's athleticism, Bobrovsky's explosiveness. So just little things from everyone.
Those are three pretty good guys to try and pull stuff out of.
Exactly.
It's funny you mention USA Hockey. I just did a couple pieces, and we just actually had Steve Thompson on from USA Hockey. And how much do you pay attention to the fact that, like, the leaderboard in the NHL right now is just littered with American goaltenders right now? And it's funny because as they're trying to evolve their different programs, it's interesting to hear you say they don't try and make everyone play the same way. You think that's a strength why we're seeing? Because not everybody's being asked a cookie cutter as a goalie?
I think so. But to go back to your question about looking at the leaderboard, yeah, it's awesome to see. Just being able to grow up with those guys, playing against them or with them. And then also in college playing with them, against them, just seeing, you know, the success that they've had. It's awesome.
Okay. So obviously you grew up in an NHL family. Was there any hesitation to let you be a goalie? Cause I've definitely heard that from ex-goalies not wanting their kids to follow their footsteps.
Oh yeah. It took a lot of persistence on my part, but finally, it was more so my dad that wouldn't want me to be a goalie, and he finally let me one time and fell in love with it right away. So never looked back.
Can I ask why? Like, usually there's different reasons. Like, some guys it's the gear, some guys just want to be on the ice all the time. What for you? What made Caden Primo love goaltending?
I think it was a mixture of being lazy and not liking playing. Being a skater, but it's definitely not a lazy position. So. A little bit of false advertising.
Yeah, I was going to say, you're not busy, but you're still like working harder than anyone else. As you evolved, as you got into the different programs in USA Hockey and stuff, like, are there different guys along the way that have really had an influence on sort of as you took those steps from, you know, trying to maybe play like Pekka or have Carey's calmness to adding some of the technical elements without losing who you were?
Yeah, and we used to have the Strelo goaltending camp, and that was huge. Just being around the staff as well, and the players. There's so many great goalies that were there.
Were you in the years when they sort of tried to bring mentorships in and had like NHL guys on the ice? Can you remind me of some of the names that might have been there?
Jimmy Howard was the one that sticks out. I don't think Bishop was there, or he might have been there but didn't go on the ice.
Like Charlie Lindgren, was that
Charlie
one of those?
Was there, yeah. There was Demko was there, Ottinger, Wold.
Do you guys pay attention to how each, like you said, you see the leaderboard. Do you keep in touch with any of you guys that you came up through USA Hockey and compare some of these notes, some of the evolution of your games and the game itself?
No. I just like to watch from afar. Okay. See how they're evolving and just seeing their success.
What do you think's changed the most in the game? Like, as a goalie, we see evolution of the position, but the game and the way they're attacking you guys has changed. What do you think is the biggest challenge? I've had a lot of guys this year tell me goaltending's never been harder.
Yeah, it's. I think it's faster, and I don't want to say it's just the sticks because the players are talented as well, but I think the shots are harder and faster than ever before. Everyone is more skilled and talented than ever before. And so the game is a lot faster, a lot more skilled. So you're seeing a lot more, plays. It's definitely a little bit harder.
Well, a lot more east-west is what we're seeing, at least analytically, when I look at the numbers. So I found it interesting that you said, you know, as you've gotten stronger, you're able to take a little more ice, because a lot of guys are going the other way because there's so much east-west, they want to shorten the path. How have you found that balance between knowing, you know, like where you are comfortable in the crease as a sort of foundation?
Yeah, I think I don't come out too far.
Yeah, it's not the 80s.
Yeah, exactly. I don't want it to come across like I started coming out extremely far, but I tend to play a little more reserved to begin with,
right.
But when I feel that confidence, when I feel that trust,
is it the difference between half ice and at the edge of your crease?
Exactly. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's not like the hash marks of the old days.
No. but certain plays as well, depending on you know, if there's threats back on the backside or whatnot, that can change where your positioning is as well.
Of course. In terms of inside out flow, like, have you evolved that or changed that over the years? Like, say off a rush, are you still taking a little ice and flowing, or are you a guy who likes to let it come to you?
I think I like to let it come to me.
Okay.
Then that goes back to, you know, the threats on the backside or what's happening. I think, being able to read the play and understand what's happening, what's going to happen next is huge for that.
Now at this level, Mitch Korn would call it patterns. You're connecting the dots, all the different patterns of the game. That's reading the game. Is there a way to get better at it without just, or is it just pure experience? You got to be in it, or are there other ways you can sort of learn to anticipate better without necessarily playing every night?
Yeah, I'm not sure.
Do you find yourself more comfortable the more you play?
I find that's my biggest asset and attribute is being able to read the play. That's probably my biggest strength.
Always been there kind of thing?
Exactly. So I think you can definitely work on it, but I'm not sure.
Well, I mean, so if it came, it's funny, you probably watched a lot of hockey growing up. And one of the things we hear from goalie coaches now is a lot of kids don't actually watch the game. And so they don't see those patterns and process. Do you think, you know, growing up in a hockey family, having watched it, maybe that's where some of the instinctual nature comes from?
It could definitely be a possibility. Yeah. I was always watching games. So definitely.
Did you try and watch through a goaltender's lens? Like I remember Demko Thatcher told me he used to watch games and when he was younger and then even into college and have a notepad making notes of how goalies were handling situations. Were you maybe not to that extreme, but were you trying to watch it from a goalie's lens?
Not from a goalie's perspective, but I always watched the goalies specifically. Okay. Just cause I love the position, like love watching, like I said earlier, Carey's calmness, Pekka's athleticism and just being able to see those kinds of things. But I wouldn't necessarily say I watch from a goalie perspective.
Okay. So as we're sitting here and I'm looking at the Montreal Canadiens logo and you're talking about Carey Price, some people might perceive that as pressure to be in an organization with Waugh and Price and all that, you know, and Ken Dryden. I literally have a Ken Dryden tattoo on my arm for crying out loud, right? Like, how do you embrace that? How do you manage that sort of, you know, be in those hallways and see those names up in some of those spots?
Yeah, it's crazy. I mean, the first couple of years I was in Montreal, Carey was around all the time. He's on part of the team. And I grew up watching him. I mean, I grew up in a hockey family where seeing people like that was, you know, kind of the norm,
right?
But seeing Carey, who I looked up to, was, and being his teammate was a surreal experience. But yeah, it's been great. I mean, everyone talks about how difficult it is to play in Montreal, but it just shows how passionate the fans are. They care so much. So, it's a blessing and a curse, but, they're great.
I'm guessing Pete's helped you look at the blessing.
Exactly.
Okay. Last one. Anything you learned from Carey over there, like in those interactions, were there things you were able to take away from him? We used to get to spend a day on the ice with him in the summers and it was always just like, I felt like I was watching a human how to goalie DVD.
Yeah. It's, the things that he was doing on the ice were crazy, but just seeing how he took care of himself off the ice.
It's a good lesson.
Yeah. Especially as a young guy. When I first, saw that, I wanted, you know, the goal is to have a long career. And so you, pick up on stuff like that. But, not only Carey, but Jake was great as well. I learned so much from Jake.
Can you give me an example? Jake's such he thinks the game so well. He's going to be, if he ever wants to, he's going to be a hell of a coach.
Yeah. And, I mean, I was always asking Eric stuff, but, I was always asking Jake stuff as well. He, like you said, he sees the game and understands the game. I think a little differently than everyone else. So, he was great.
Anything technically you've changed with Eric without giving away secrets? Like just, you know, just, little things that, cause I watch him work and he seems like even today, like you guys are 3/4 of the way into the season and he's going over details. Seems like a really smart, detail oriented coach. Are you constantly sort of learning? Are there any specifics you've taken away this year that have made a big difference?
It's kind of always, you know, had the same theme. Okay. Just using my size.
Right.
Not getting too small, not shrinking, early and, not making a move before, you know, the play is presented.
Okay. I was going to say, I watched a couple here in practice where like guy basically walking across the middle below the hash marks, loading it up and you're still holding edges. And I was pretty impressed with that patience.
Yeah. We do quite a bit of drills like that. So, that's just one of the things, like I said, that he's helped me with. And, it's more theme based throughout the year.
Love it. Awesome. Caden, thank you so much for your time. This has been great.
Thank you.
you just have a knack for bringing things out of players. And he comes from this history. His uncle played, his dad played in the National Hockey League. And being a goaltender wasn't front and center on the Primos.
Yeah, no, I thought that was interesting, right? We hear from a lot of ex-NHL goalies or current NHL goalies that have kids. Hey, that's one of the questions we throw at them. Would you let your son be a goalie? And quite often the answer is no. In this case, his dad, who was not a goalie, didn't think it was a great idea either. But I got to tell you, like, really enjoyed talking to Caden. Really, it's hard not to like this kid. Just there's a joy there when he talks about the position and the steps he's taking this year. Good for him. We talked earlier during the Vezina conversation about adjusted save percentages. His is actually the best of the three goalies that have been in Montreal this season so far. Obviously, small sample, but he's put up some good numbers at times behind some tough nights for a team that's still finding its way and in a rebuild phase. The other part I wanted to sort of follow up there was, when he talked about Pete, because we ended up talking about it afterwards, and he sort of struggled to sort of describe some things. And part of that was, because we were talking after, he said, because it's so simple. And we kind of went back and forth and agreed, like, it kind of reminded me of Carey. Like, what's the foundation of Carey Price's game? And interestingly enough, ingoalmag.com this week, we have crease movement pattern drills with Eric Comrie and the Buffalo Sabres that tie back to Carey's foundation, which was moving in the crease. Yeah, we all want to see fancy, crazy drills, but it was all about footwork and movement and skating. And that's what Carey focused on. Simple stuff. And in a lot of ways, the stuff that Caden has done with Pete, and that's why he struggled. He was trying to think of like something crazy or spectacular. But the reality is it's all really simple in terms of the mindset stuff. He just hadn't been focusing on it or focusing on it in the right way, much like skating drills. If you don't do the work, it doesn't matter how simple it is. If you don't do the work, you don't stay good at it. And that's kind of where he comes out on the mental stuff. Like, he's doing the work on a consistent basis, and it's made a massive difference in his game. Even if, like I said, during the interview there, he struggles a little bit to sort of, and part of that is maybe hesitation to share too much of the details. You don't want to give away all your secrets. But just, I think a part of it is just, this has become part of his daily routine, part of his foundation. And it's just like skating. If you don't take care of the basics, they won't take care of you when you need them.
I loved embracing the puck coming into your own end. That was really cool. That part of the work that he's done with Pete Fry. That's a lot of people are just, oh, the puck's in my hand. Yeah, tense. And it much different approach here, Hutch.
Yeah, it is. And it makes me think of, a lot of situations that minor hockey goaltenders go through, the frustration about how their teams play defense in front of them. Well, Pete would tell you to just enjoy that you're getting this great opportunity to make a difference for your team. Or the frustration that they have in practice when they face 2-on-0 drills, 3-on-0 drills, embrace that opportunity. We talked before about how those simple crease movement drills, Woody, apply at the National Hockey League level and they apply at the 8-year-old level in an equal way. I think this mindset stuff does too. And it's so refreshing to see a National Hockey League goaltender embracing some of the simple things about mindset training that are so important at every level of the game.
Yeah, and I think the other thing too, and this is one where I think I put him in a bad spot because I didn't really understand it as well, athlete mindset versus fan mindset.
There's an article at ingoalmag.com if you'd like, Woody.
There you go. I need to refresh. Somehow I got it confused with one of the other things. And all that is like that play comes at you into your end as a fan. You're like, oh no, here they come. And as a goalie, you want to be, all right, here they come, I'm ready.
Yeah,
and
that's
exactly what you guys were just talking about. That's what he meant. And I think it wasn't Caden, it was more me as the interviewer, not, sort of dotting those I's and crossing those T's and tying those together properly. Because when he walked me through it after when we were chatting, it became crystal clear.
From a crowded crease in Montreal to separating yourself from the pack in Buffalo, a similar journey for Ukko-Pekka Luukkonen.
Another crowded crease, though, right? Running three.
Yes.
Devin Levi up here now, was up there for long stretches of the season. Eric Comrie, a good friend of the program, so to speak, here at In Goal Magazine and ingoalmag.com, also there. Yeah, this was, I'll be honest with you, so caveat, this was a conversation for an NHL.com piece as opposed to specifically for In Goal Magazine and the In Goal Radio podcast. But Ukko was so good in his answers that we really wanted to share it. And some stuff that ties into what Caden's going through, too. The opportunity to play is so important at this level. And interesting, I've got Calgary Flames here right now. Dustin Wolf's going through the same thing right now. They got one of the best goalies in the world in Jacob Markstrom. Well, how do you find time for Dustin Wolf to play? But if you don't, like Uko tells us in this interview, there were some changes. Yes, technically, tactically, he's made some adjustments. But the most important thing for him was the 33 games he got last year, because that's what allowed him to figure out what would work and then go to work on getting better at those things so he could make the strides this year. It's tough sometimes for organizations to find those 33 games. And I think the Sabres deserve a lot of credit. And Uko recognizes it early in this interview for providing him that opportunity last year. And they're reaping the rewards this year.
Have a listen to Ukko-Pekka Luukkonen in conversation with Kevin Woodley on In Goal Radio, the podcast. Feature interview presented by NHL Sense Arena.
You know, I think a lot of people, when they see a goalie have success, they're like, what's changed and what's new? But typically it's an evolution that takes some time. What would you say is the biggest keys to the success you're having this season?
I think just overall, I think, you know, like for me, sometimes it's hard to talk personal, like, or my own game, but I really do feel, you know, I appreciate the time I've been given from the coaching staff here and the whole organization to kind of take my time on finding my footing in the net. And I feel like last year, I mean, kind of extended amount of games already in the NHL and kind of trying to figure out what it is that I need to do to play well. And then kind of this year, just, you know, I am still relatively, I was, you know, I'm now 25, but, you know, still I can work during the summer and I can get better. And I kind of found what I needed to do. And overall, just I feel like I move a lot better. My movements and my edge work is a lot more solid, which allows me to play a little bit deeper in the net and kind of a little bit more conservative. And I don't need to challenge as much, which I feel like has helped me a lot. So, you know, I think there's a lot of things that have come into it. But, you know, just overall, I feel like I'm a lot more confident in that.
I know Seamus is a big fan of it just takes games, right? Like it takes time to sort of get to that. And like you said, you got that last year. But I'm curious about the offseason work, the strength. And also when you say your edges, would I be correct in saying like you're playing more often with a bit of a narrower, taller stance? Like you're not getting locked into low and wide as often as maybe earlier in your career?
Yes, 100%. I think that's something we've been working on a couple past summers in Finland. You know, I've been with a couple of different goalie coaches, but overall the message has been the same, to get my chest more up and get the feet a little bit narrower together, which, you know, has helped me a lot, I feel like. And overall, that there's a lot that goes into it. You have to be strong from your core and hips and legs to, you know, to be able to kind of play a little bit more chest up and get strength from kind of playing lower from the legs then. But yeah, overall, I feel like that's one of the bigger things, just kind of keeping the feet more narrow and having the chest more up.
Well, and I guess it's probably goes hand in hand. You talked about finding yourself in your game, but the game has changed at the NHL level too, right? Like it's so east-west. If you do get wide, you know, it's so hard to move from a really low wide stance. The way the game's so dynamic in front of you, it's just become tougher for goalies to play from, you know, that lower stance. It feels like, at least.
Yeah, no, 100%. You're correct, and you kind of more and more you have to be ready for those, you know, lateral plays and be ready for those backdoor and the even the D-men and from the blue line, all they look for is sticks in front nowadays. And I feel like also one of the things when I, you know, people talk about confidence, it's like, when you feel like when you come to the league as a younger goalie, you want to make the save every time really, really bad, which kind of forces sometimes you to like kind of be, you know, in the wider stance. And the only thing you're thinking about is that, you know, I'm just going to make the save from this rush. And you kind of, you know, don't do any favors yourself with that thinking, because then they make the play lateral and you automatically are kind of late. Because you're too focused on the puck carrier every time. So
yeah.
I feel like that's one of the things, you know, which comes with confidence, is you read the play better and you're more confident to kind of see the play and wait the situation out.
We've got a goalie coach here that always says tension is the enemy of goaltending. And so as soon as you sort of get so focused on one save and locked in, like you're inherently tense and it delays any movement.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. I think overall, just as I talked about the confidence, and every year I feel like it's more important how you read the game. Players are getting better, the game's getting faster every year, so just reading and making a run read is so important.
Talking about playing a little deeper within that stance, but also a little deeper within the crease. Do you feel like you get more time to read? Like, do you feel like sitting back the game, it's easy to say, let the game come to you. It's really hard to do. But when you're playing a little further back in the crease, do you feel like you have a little more time to sort of process and see things and have the game in front of you, so to speak?
Yes, 100%. And I feel like every time I've been talking to a couple of goalie coaches and, a guy, Seamus Kotick, who has been the development goalie coach in Buffalo for my whole time I've been here since I got drafted, and I just talked to him a couple of days ago, and he asked me what's I find the biggest thing is, and the biggest thing I, felt has made the difference is I feel like just what goes into it is kind of keeping the play in front of you. You don't let pucks get behind you or players get behind you, because that's where the trouble is when the game gets to behind you and you don't know what's going on there. So the more deeper you play, the more the play is in front of you, and you kind of, you allow yourself the best chance to make the reads. When you see the whole ice and there's nobody behind you, in this level, if the game gets behind you, you're kind of not in a good spot.
No, it's so quick and they're so skilled. These changes, all the things you're telling me, are these things that you were getting comfortable with, Uko, last season? Like you mentioned that getting the chance to play last year has really helped this year. Were these all changes you made last year, or have some of them been this year?
I think it's been just over time.
Okay.
And I think that's why always there's talk about, why goalies need that little bit of extra time.
Yeah.
You figure stuff out, but as a player, you have four lines and you have your line mates and everything, and you can kind of, have those little bit of an off night and all that. But as a goalie, everybody knows if you make a mistake, you will usually be, it'll be shown on the scoreboard. So, it's kind of, just over time, you kind of realize what you need to do. And once you get to stretch a couple of good games together, it's easier to kind of realize that, okay, this is what I need to do, play well, and kind of, be confident with your game once you, find those things and, you realize what's working for you.
The reads, you talked about the reads. Has video helped you with that as well? Like, some guys love it, some guys want to, because it's one of the questions, we hear this all the time, Uko, like, quote unquote, goalie school goalie amongst the young kids. Not you, but I mean young kids, and it's like, how do you teach them to read the game, to process the game? Is it just time, or do you do a lot of studying on video and things like that to sort of help you see, it's probably a phrase Seamus would use too, the patterns of the game that unfold in front of you?
Yeah, of course. I do a lot of video. We go over every game, and I've been doing that pretty much, every year I've been here. And, I have one goalie coach in Finland. I do love video, but I think he had a good saying about it, is that he wasn't too big on the video. He still did it, but he said that as a goalie, when there's a goal which goes in, you instantly kind of should know what you did wrong and be able to fix that. I feel like that's one of the, part of the reading the game, is that you have to be available to, notice your mistakes once they happen in the game and be able to kind of fix them, rather than just kind of let the flow of the game take you and you keep repeating the same mistakes.
Right.
But I feel like video is a huge thing. With Belzy, our goalie coach here, something we worked on is which I feel like as a, if you're not a goalie, you don't realize the importance of it. But just kind of realizing how big of a difference it made on my games is where I'm standing when the play is developing on the central or neutral zone or in their end, rather than, getting too far outside your paint and taking the rush, keeping your calm and, waiting in your net and making a read, holding players and everything. And then when you need to do it, just taking a step out and then finding calm out rather than being already too far out and kind of, you know, making a, you know, rush situation harder for yourself than it needs to be. So I feel like there's a lot of positive things you can learn from video. And the biggest thing for me is just kind of find those patterns, good ones or bad ones, which, you know, have been working or haven't been working, and fixing them.
I love it. I love it. Hey, listen, I've really enjoyed this conversation. I feel like I could ask you a bunch more, but I want to be respectful of your time. I know it's a travel day. I did notice, it's interesting, you playing with a little less backwards flow off the rush was something else I noticed off tape, and that would sort of match what you talked about with Mike there. Am I correct in that? Just one last one?
Yeah, no, 100%.
Yeah,
that's
okay.
Something we kind of been working on.
Chest up. That's a reminder. 6'5", like there's a limit to how much you can really have the chest up or before you're guarding the glass or the net, like the mesh behind, not the actual goal. But I love his legs. Like his legs just fantasy. They just amaze me.
Well, I just love to be 6'5", frankly.
True.
But you know, it's interesting to hear him sort of figure out some of those biomechanics and think about it, folks. Like, you know, chest up, if you're not, like, you don't want to overdo it. It's like everything. But if you cut at the waist and bend your chest forward and lean forward sort of from the hips and sort of have that, you lose that logo, so to speak. If I'm looking at you, I can't see your logo because your chest is so sunk. Well, your hands innately want to come back as a counterbalance. And so it's really hard to sort of keep your hands active and in front of you if you let that chest fall too far forward in your stance. And so, listen, this is the thing we don't talk about. Being 6'5" has its challenges, right? Like we all want, we hear a lot about narrower stances, and Uko talks about narrowing his stance, something he's had to work really hard on to develop the strength in his legs and his core to manage that. But narrow stance at 6'5", man, it can feel like you are a long way from the ice when you're doing that. So it's, you know, these are part of the evolution, both of Ukko-Pekka Luukkonen and of the position and our understanding of the biomechanics of it. But just of the mindset, like, you know, it's tough for a big goalie to feel like they're that far from the ice. The tendency is to widen out. And that's, again, something he's trying to avoid. So he's done a really, you can tell, that he's a thinker.
I
know Eric Comrie, I had a good chat with him about UPL for the story, but not for the podcast. Man, he's a fan. He said he could see the differences as soon as he stepped on the ice in training camp, and he thought, "This holy wow, this guy's going to have a heck of a season." And in Eric Comrie fashion, I think he did actually say "holy wow," and he threw a dang in there as well. He's a big fan of Uko as a person and how passionate he is about the game, how hard he works, but also as a goalie as well. So again, you know, 7 years after he was drafted, there are a lot of people that are probably going like, "Hey, there was times I wondered." But it just shows you need opportunities to establish yourself at the highest level. And good on Ukko-Pekka Luukkonen for recognizing the changes he need to make, embracing them, and good on the Sabres for giving them the opportunity to do so. And like I said, everybody's reaping the rewards this year.
Hutch, he also seized an opportunity too, because I think everybody was talking about Devon Levi coming into the year.
Yeah, he did. I mean, you can't listen to the noise around you and worry about what's happening around you. So he certainly did. But, as Woody said, it's been a 7-year journey. So it sort of sounds like the old, he's a 7-year overnight success, isn't he?
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? So people sometimes forget that. And I think that's the most crucial one. And I think some, you know me, I always have to chime in here for the minor hockey kids, but just remember it's a long journey. And if you're not accomplishing all the things that you think others around you are accomplishing at a young age, that's okay. Cause maybe your journey is just a little bit different, but you might end up in the same place or even higher than those kids around you. So just keep working.
Hey, speaking of Devon Levi, watched him in Vancouver, second up back to back. They didn't get the win, but man, he put on a show. He was really good that night. And so pretty tough to do, eh? Like he's in the American League, hadn't played in the NHL since January 24th, gets called up, plays in the AHL on Friday, gets called up Saturday, travels west, watches from the press box as UPL beats Seattle on Monday night. Here you go. First game in a couple months in the National. It's the Vancouver Canucks, second end of back-to-back. And by the way, our playoff lives are on the line here. Didn't get the win, but it wasn't on Devon Levi. He played really well.
Is the perfect height for a goalie 6'3.5"? That's my number.
Where's the half?
Well, because I wanted to go 6'4", but I'm not willing to stretch that far because there's not enough goalies that are 6'4".
Darren, so it's a lot closer.
6'3.5".
No, it's a lot closer to 6'3.25", Darren. Come on, let's be serious.
I'm going to be perfectly honest with you guys. I've had goalie coaches. I've had this conversation around the National Hockey League. A lot of them feel it's 6-2 to 6-3.
6-2, 6-3. Yeah, so 6-2.5, maybe.
Yeah, maybe 6-2.5. If 6-3 is the ideal, the answer, and I think this was Ian Clark. I think he said this on our podcast in the past. If 6-3 is the ideal, and he's not saying it is, but if that's your ideal, whether it's 6-2 or 6-3,
yeah,
then if you're 2 inches shorter than that or 2 inches taller than that, you have to overcome your size just in different ways. We talked about big guys having to get to the ice, the holes they open moving. Small guys obviously worry about getting routed upstairs, but usually quicker, better on their feet, set earlier, more often. Think of a UC Saros, think of a Dustin Wolf. Either way, you have to overcome your size in either direction. The difference is the ones on the taller end of the spectrum get every opportunity to do so, and the smaller guys often don't get any.
I'd rather be the small guy. Fast, dynamic. Like if I had to choose.
I'm the small guy, and I'm neither fast nor dynamic, so yeah. I guess I just kind of suck. That's how all roads breed to beer.
I can't do it either. What's the perfect hand size? That's what we got to find out for Hutch.
Hey, you know what? That's funny that you say that, though. In the NFL Combine, the number one predictor of success as a quarterback in the National Hockey League is hand size.
Yeah.
National Football League, excuse me.
Yeah.
So what you're saying, you couldn't be a quarterback either?
Oh, God, no.
And rusher. That's what he is.
That was a center.
Or a safety. Because you're our safety. You tie Thank this you. All together.
No, you're sweet.
I got to fly. Hutch, you got to do some editing, and Woody's got to get home from Rogers Arena. So we got to wrap this up. Thanks to you guys. This has been fun. Like, tons in this episode.
Loaded.
Like when Woody drops in something, and Hutch just gives us this painful face.
That face.
Yeah, it's a painful face.
Yeah, that's painful.
It's borderline mad face, like shut up face. Thanks for listening.
I'm never mad.
We'll talk to you guys next week on In Goal Radio, the podcast.